Welcome to the soundtrack of your life, a place where stories aren't read, they're heard. Where life isn't measured in years, but in songs. Because every day deserves its own soundtrack. And today we sit down to listen to one of our own through conversations about origins, passions, and music. We celebrated the diversity that makes us unique. Today we open our ears and our hearts.
Quoting the 2012 movie, "Blue is not so pink." How often do we point at other people just because they're different? Different in the way they think, the way they dress, the way they speak, or the way they love? We forget that we live in a diverse society where everyone belongs and everyone deserves to be heard. We mistreat others because we see them as inferior or less intelligent, or because they have a different skin color. We make jokes about some people because they come from other cultures and have different customs and beliefs. We feel entitled to judge just because they made a choice different from ours. And if instead of pointing fingers, we listened.
This is the quote of the day. Getting out of your comfort zone is the first step towards a better future.
This is the soundtrack of your life. Feel the beat, feel the drive, let the rhythm come alive. Oh, this is your time. Your story's in the sound tonight. I care about the human being. I care about the human being.
Ooh, I like it. Can I get it? I really like it. Well, before we dive into your story, I would love to hear a bit about your first. Who are you and what's your role at the university?
Well, my name's Noah. I'm a second year languages student. I am also involved in some things with the first year leadership program. I'm an off-campus advisor for the LOCUS program, Laurier Off-Campus University Students. Huh. And also I am the Arts Council advisor.
Oof. Well, perfect. So for all our listeners out there, this is the voice of Noah. Noah, welcome to the soundtrack of your life. We always begin each episode with a question left by our previous guests, and they had no idea it was you answering the question. And the question comes from Ali, and his question is like, what does the inside part of you affect your outside, and what's the outside affects your inside?
That is a complicated question. My goodness.
Now think about that for the question at the end that you can put the next guest in travels as well.
Well, as for how the outside part of me, I guess, affects the inside. I have never been a particularly large person. I've always been very short. And I guess for that reason, I've always felt a little bit introverted, a little bit like not necessarily welcome taking up space, which has been like, maybe I haven't always been as confident as I should have been, right? But hey, we work on that.
Which is the best part.
Yeah, there's always something to improve in life. So that's, I guess, what I get. And then how the inside part of me affects the outside. Oh boy. I would say that probably relates very specifically to my fashion sense.
Mm-hmm.
I find, no offense to absolutely anyone, that a lot of people do not dress well.
I agree with you.
Yeah.
I include myself in that group, by the way.
No.
Yeah.
You are perfectly fine. Don't worry.
Thank you so much.
But I'm also a very creative person, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I find that I feel the need to put a little bit more effort in when it comes to how I want to present myself to the world. And so that is generally how, like, my fashion sense is generally how I express that.
Very good. So Ali got his answer.
Roots and origins.
Now let's begin with you. Let's go back to the basics. What are your family roots and where did you grow up?
Well, as for where I grew up, I actually grew up not here specifically, but in town in Kitchener, which is, you know, Kitchener-Waterloo,
yep.
The other half of the city, right?
Yep.
So I'm very familiar with many things around this area, and it has been really not all that much of an adjustment having to come to university since mm-hmm. I can just take transit from home and yep. I'm right here. As for my family roots, I believe technically my family originally comes from England and Germany are the big main two. But at this point, we kind of just consider ourselves Canadians because
mm-hmm.
we've been here for multiple generations at this point, as anyone who lives here really should, if
yep.
I'm being honest. Yeah.
Good to hear that, because home has different meanings, right? For different people, for everyone. But in your case, what does home mean to you? Is it a place? Is it a feeling? Or the people in that specific place?
I would definitely say it's the people. For me, it always has been the people. It's who I feel the most comfortable around, who I feel the most happy to be with. And who that is depends on from day to day, week to week, month to month. Who it really ends up being can always change, but it's always the people for me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Usually the people you feel comfortable with.
Yeah.
Good. Because that, by the end, that's what home should be, right?
Mm-hmm.
A comfortable place for me to be who I want.
Exactly.
But it also comes with some, let's say, sensory details.
Mm.
Sometimes it's a sound, sometimes it's a smell or a texture. In your case, which type of sensory instantly brings you to that specific place called home for you?
I think it's probably the sound.
Mm-hmm.
It's the most for me, whether that be music that we're enjoying together, whether that just be the sound of the, like, my friends, my family's laughter. I think sound is probably the most important. The other ones, obviously,
yeah,
like, matter
sure.
quite a lot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if I can't see anything, then generally I'm a little less comfortable.
Yeah.
But I would say that sound is probably the biggest one.
Because usually if you hear your beloved ones laughing, means that they are sharing with you, right?
Exactly,
sometimes
yeah.
in a meeting or a spare time. And usually these moments represents also sharing food. In your case, is there any type of dish or a flavor that means far more to you than just a meal? What memories live inside that taste?
That one is a tough one.
Really?
Yeah. My family, we really like to cook dishes from many different cultures. My mom really, really likes Thai food. And like, we also try other things all the time too. Mm-hmm. Like, we've got pasta from like Italy. Mm-hmm. We've got curries down from India.
Oof.
And jerk. She loves jerk from, oh, where's that from originally? I should know this because my mom loves it so much. I can't remember right
okay,
now.
Okay, if it comes, let us know.
Of course. But we really like many different flavors and in my house. What's the most important?
Shouldn't be the most important, but something that comes to your mind now for any specific reason.
If anything, it's probably garlic.
Oh, yes. Yes, yes, yes.
I know garlic is probably one of the simplest flavors.
It makes us everything better.
It really does. My mom loves to add just so much of it to any dish she makes. And to be honest, it's kind of just her putting her love into her dishes, right?
Yes.
It's just putting that extra little something in there. And whenever I taste it, it's just, there it is.
Because you and I can recognize when a meal was prepared with love.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And I think probably I will blame our childhood because when you are a child, you don't realize how important is that part.
Yeah.
You only want to be happy.
Childhood and Ali connections.
In going back to your childhood, what's one memory, no matter how simple it is, but a memory that you treasure, and why does it stay with you? Not the most, but one.
Yeah. That's another tough one.
That's my purpose.
Fair enough. I think what comes to mind to me right now,
mm-hmm.
especially with, I'm not sure when you're going to get this episode out, but when we're recording this, it's in the holidays, right? Especially with Christmas coming up soon, I just remember going over to my great grandma's house. She used to host the whole extended family at her house, and we would all just sit around together, have meals, play games, just good food, good times, and just getting to spend that time together was always really nice.
How many people approx?
Oh goodness. Probably 40 at least.
Oh my gosh, that's a lot. Which is good, right?
It is good. I was a very introverted child, though, so often I would escape away to the basement and just play alone or with my younger siblings. Mm-hmm. But even then, it was always just spending that time together. That
but look so at you right now. That moment means a lot for you.
Mm-hmm.
Spending or knowing that the whole of your family was there. Maybe you hiding a little bit, but and being aware that they were probably for you, probably for the other part of the family. and it made a good footprint in your memory and in your heart.
Mm-hmm, for sure.
Okay, regarding to your memory, sometimes at that age, we think that it's a very rough moment in our life. Sometimes we have to make big decisions or small decisions, but usually we make these decisions based on principles that someone guided. In your case, do you remember when you have to make a decision? What type of principle guided your decision, and who in your life modeled that principle for you?
Oh, wow. Well. I don't even know.
Thinking... Am I putting you in too many troubles?
No.
Okay.
I don't, I guess I don't think about things like this too often, you know?
Oh, too often, yes, for sure. For sure.
Decisions like these, I guess I'm much more of a make the decision and then move on with it kind of person. I don't like, no regrets, you know?
Actually, you can pass if you want for any question. So don't feel shy to avoid answering or not knowing a proper answer.
I don't know. I guess the most recent big decision I made was probably deciding which university to go to.
Really?
Yeah.
Did you have several choices?
I did. I was very much considering like moving out and going away to Toronto or even Ottawa, just because my family is a fairly large one, as I mentioned, but even like within my house, I have three younger siblings as well as both my parents in the house. So it's quite busy a lot of the time.
Yes.
And I was very much thinking about, well, maybe it's time for me to go off on my own and do my own thing. But in the end, I made the decision to stay here in close to home and go to Laurier, which, to be fair, I have not regretted. Laurier has been a great place. I've met many great people here. But in the end, I guess the reason I made the decision, it kind of feels bad to say this, but it was the money aspect.
It's not a reason to feel bad.
Well, I still did anyway, but that's okay. It's just moving out like that to a different place with so many different costs adding up would have been a lot. But instead, I chose to stay here, prioritize saving money so that eventually I could go off on exchange somewhere, which would be, I'm hoping, will be a great experience to have.
Time will come.
But I guess the main reason I've been prioritizing that so much is my grandpa. He said that to me that he had the opportunity that he could have traveled when he was young, but instead he chose to stay here and has regretted it ever since. Just because there's so many different cultures, different experiences that he could have had and he could have learned from that he never had the chance to. So he's been encouraging me to chase that dream. So,
That is a piece of wisdom.
It really is. It really is.
Is it probably one of the most important advices that you got from any family member?
I would say so, actually. Yeah.
That's really nice, because when you were a child, usually your best friends come from your family. Was that your case, that as far as you remember when you were a child, there was anyone in your family who you felt at that time that it was your best friend, or even more, there was an outside member of your family who became a good friend of you?
Well, family has always been a big thing for me, of course, because there's so many of us. But to be honest, my best friends have all been outside of my family, I'd say. Especially just because up until recently, my family has been very spread out, kind of living all over the place, still within Ontario,
yep.
but kind of all over the place. So it's always been a little bit of a drive.
Not next door.
No. So I never had the chance to spend so much time with my family, although I did spend time with them. So really, it was once I got to school that I was able to make real friendships, I would say. Could you reread me the question?
No, it's perfect. You found a friendship, and friends, honestly, in my opinion, friends are family members that we chose to be.
Yeah, for sure.
And that's a difference from the real family members.
Mm-hmm.
But coming to university help you out, maybe, or school help you out to find or make a decision to decide who's gonna be your friend. How deep was their footprint in your younger ages and nowadays?
Well, to be honest, the people who I first became best friends with in even elementary school, those are the people that I still am best friends with today.
You are so lucky, man. Honestly.
We have great relationships, I would say. We've watched each other grow up, really. And there's been some years where we're less close, some years where we're more. But we've still always been there for each other, which has been really great.
Do you think it helped you in any way to prepare university life?
I think so, yeah. Especially with, sorry to mention it, the pandemic. We were all separated, right? And we had to be online. So now that we've sort of started moving out, going different places, we're still able to keep that connection because we have the practice. We didn't really have anyone else during that time of our lives.
Yeah.
So now that we've gone and solidified that connection, it's not that hard to keep it going, right?
Yeah.
Passions and personal energy.
And suddenly after pandemic, you saw yourself coming into the university life, which is a very, very fast paced life. But there are some times when deadlines and responsibilities become heavier. Do you have any like reset button that you use when you have these heavy times? What helps you recharge yourself?
Well, sometimes I do consider it a bit of a bad habit. But I do like to spend time playing video games.
I love it.
Yeah, no, for sure. It's always great. I can really lose myself in just worlds beyond your imagination, you know?
I'm pretty sure you won't beat my record playing video games.
Yeah?
18 hours in a row.
Oh, wow.
In a row.
No, I will not beat that. That's crazy.
Someone will come and hit you, I guess.
Yeah. Wow.
Nobody did that with me.
That's fair.
But it's really nice because my next question was like, sometimes you do things not to escape stress, but things that you genuinely love it.
Mm.
And probably playing video games is also part of that.
For sure. Yeah. No, it really is just a way to, I guess, relieve stress that you don't even really think about. It's just kind of second nature to me at this point.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes I get a little lost in it, for sure. And maybe I'm not quite at 18 hours in a row, but...
You should.
Well... But, yeah, no. That's always just a really nice way to... I don't know, to pass the time, but also to enjoy it, you know?
Yes, and just to make our audience jealous, which game do you play?
Most recently, I've been playing a game called Hollow Knight Silksong. It's a, I guess, kind of a story-y game.
Okay.
But it's, I don't know, it's about exploring a lost kingdom of little tiny bugs.
Uh-huh.
That your character has been more or less kidnapped into.
Okay.
And just trying to find your way home.
And what you have to do in the game, like heal or research or discover?
It's mostly just fighting your way out of it, to be honest.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. Like escape mode? Well, I think it develops your thinking.
It does. There's a lot of like background lore, I guess you would call it, to the game that I've been trying to get into myself. So it's been very interesting, like researching while I'm playing the game and like noting down what different characters say and trying to figure it all out. It's been very fun.
I don't know if it happened to you, but I used to think like, I don't want to go to work or I don't want to go to university, but staying playing because I was able to be myself.
Yeah.
You know what I mean, right?
Oh, for sure. No. And another big thing I like to do is I play D&D, which is less of a, I guess, everyday pastime because I have to get together with a group of friends to play it.
Is that it stands for Dungeons and Dragons?
Yes.
Okay. Guess what? I've never played that.
That's very fair.
Is it nice?
It's very nice. I have a lot of fun playing it.
I realized about that game watching The Big Bang Theory.
Oh,
the TV
really?
Show, the old TV show.
Wow.
I
okay.
said, like, why these people love that? And I saw some video and I said, oh my gosh, this must be amazing.
It's a lot of fun. And everyone plays it a different way, but we always have fun. And I don't know, it's just another, maybe it's just my thing to be on a fantasy adventure. But
yeah, I can see nostalgia in your face,
mm-hmm.
which is really nice because that's life, right? A balance between nostalgia and joy in taking this in account. What is a small thing, a simple a pleasure that never fails to bring a smile to your face?
Mm. Well, this is going to be a long story, so bear with me here.
No, please.
So, during the pandemic, I started picking up the guitar because my other grandpa, the one I haven't mentioned yet, he found a guitar at a yard sale years and years ago and had given it to us, but no one had ever really touched it. So I decided, well, why not? And I guess I hadn't been seeing my grandparents on that side for a long time because of the pandemic going on. And both of those grandparents actually ended up passing away around that time as well. So I guess I was just kind of missing them and decided to pick up that guitar as a little subconscious thing to get closer to them.
Or maybe honor them.
Maybe. But on top of that, one of the first challenging songs for at least for me, that I decided to learn was a song from the game Minecraft, okay, which I played so much as a kid.
Really?
I'm not sure I ever got to the 18 hours like you did, but I definitely got close. And the music in that game, the soundtrack, oh my goodness. If you ever get a chance to listen to the original Minecraft music.
When I put in my to-do list.
It's, maybe it's just the nostalgia speaking, but okay, being able to hear that music is just, oh man.
Does it have only like one general soundtrack, or different stages in the game has different soundtracks?
Yes and no. There's some areas of the game that have their own specific music, but for the majority of it, it's kind of the same music that's played. As the game has gotten older, the developers have sort of replaced certain bits of music and added new. Mm-hmm. So it feels different nowadays compared to what it used to.
Yep.
But the original stuff was just, it just puts you so at peace, you know?
Yeah.
And even from what I'm biased, obviously, but hearing from people who have like never played the game themselves, but have listened to the music, it just inherently has this nostalgia to it.
Really? It's such involving.
Yeah. It's wow. It's just such a great soundtrack. So when I picked up the guitar and decided, I guess subconsciously, that I was really missing my grandparents in that childhood, and just the feeling of, oh, the world is kind of not as great as I thought it would be.
Yeah.
Being able to play a song like that was just incredible.
Yeah. Like closing the circle in a good way.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, it's very, very lovely, lovely story. It wasn't long. It was so lovely, just like that. And that is something that brings a smile in your face. But we are human beings, right? Mm-hmm. So we also carry fears. Sometimes they are big, sometimes they are small. But if you are comfortable sharing, what is something that you are afraid of? And how have you learned to live alongside it?
To be honest, this one's a bit of a big one, I guess, for me. I have, for whatever reason, a very, very strong fear of death. And that's just, I guess when I was younger, I like considered it a little too deeply once.
Yep.
And it's just been something that I think about on and off again every so often.
Yeah. Sometimes it's your own dead, sometimes it's your beloved ones dead. Mm-hmm. In my case, certain period of time, lifetime, I was afraid of my own dead.
Yeah, no, that's exactly it. But I guess just with the passing of time, I've come to accept more and more, or at least feel that I accept more and more, that it's really just all about enjoying it while it lasts, you know?
Yes.
Enjoying every moment that you can. And yeah, just being able to get up and keep going, you know?
Yep. You're probably my 15th interviewee, and most of them are afraid of death. So it's something that brings us together in that idea.
It's what makes us human, I guess.
Exactly. And probably that's one of the things that Wilfrid Laurier does with people, right? Coming from all around the world. And it allows us to learn from different cultures, different religions, different way of thinking.
The University Experience.
So if you can share with us maybe one conversation or one moment or one perspective from someone different from you that genuinely surprised you or even challenged what you thought you knew.
That one's a real tough one.
Yeah, well, all of us live in a bubble, right?
That's true.
And when someone comes and picks the bubble and shows you that the world is more than you can see, sometimes, I mean, it's always enriching, but sometimes you learn it in a tough way, sometimes you learn it in a good way.
For sure.
But the good part is like you always learn from that.
Mm-hmm.
You remember something that comes to your mind that, hey, I remember when I talked to this person or when I share with this that I learned something.
No, for sure. Especially as a student in the languages department.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, half of what we do is learning the language, but the other half is the culture and learning about the different perspectives that we can get from across the world. I don't even know. Like, there's so many different little things that mm-hmm. have just built up over the years.
Let's put it in this way. What about something that you discovered from yourself because of sharing with people from different cultures? Something that you thought, hey, I didn't know I think in this way and I like it, or I didn't know I was more pro this than against this.
I guess we'll talk about my my second language technically,
okay.
French, which I've spent a long time studying. I've gone through French immersion all 12 years, grade 1 to 12, and now I'm here studying it again at university. In French, as is the case with many Romance languages like Spanish, Italian, Portuguese, I'm sure you're familiar.
Mm-hmm.
There is a very clear divide when it comes to genders. And that sort of idea of male and female is very, very strong, especially within French.
Really?
And especially when it comes to grammar.
Uh-huh.
Because okay. they have that grammatical gender as well. Every noun is either masculine or feminine, right?
Oh, like in Spanish.
Like in Spanish, exactly, yeah. But the thing is, because of that, there's also very, very strong expectations when it comes to gender. And that can be very, very harmful to many people. And that is also the case in other places, even
yeah.
here.
Yeah.
But having studied that, and especially like recently this semester, I took
mm-hmm.
a course all about not necessarily feminist literature, but literature relating to feminism and women in general
mm-hmm.
from, I guess, the medieval period to the French Revolution.
Yep.
And what I saw was very much that, oh wow, these ideas have been entrenched for ages.
Yes.
And they have not really changed all that much, only subtly, even going into now. But looking at them, it was very clear to me that, oh, these shouldn't apply anymore. And I guess for that reason, I've just been, I guess, happy about it, that I don't feel the need to conform like that, you know?
Yeah. I wonder why there is not any single person at the academia, let's say, saying, hey, we need to review our language. Because if I'm not wrong, it doesn't happen in English.
No.
Which I like.
Yeah, it's
more inclusive.
Yeah, it is. I don't know. It's tough because there are people who are trying to fight back against it, obviously.
Really?
But the thing is, all the like institutions, like the how do you translate that name into English? The like Academy for the French Language.
Okay.
There's one in Spanish as
well. Yeah.
The big institution that decides grammar. First of all, it doesn't really exist in English. So it's much more decentralized like that.
Okay.
People just determine it how they determine it. But when there is that institution who decides, okay, this is the right way, this is how things are supposed mm-hmm. to go, they've very clearly been against it.
Already?
Yeah, they've very much encouraged, no, it has to stay this way. It's this way for a reason. And blah, blah, blah. Like they've very much decided, no, we aren't going to make it more inclusive, which is very strange to me.
And to me, is there any place where we can go and make a protest?
Well, if you want to go all the way to France, you're more than welcome, I think. But, yeah, that's the problem.
Unless OSAP funds me the trip, I won't be able to.
That's fair, me neither.
But, and this is something that I know you a little bit because we've been classmates. And probably you know me a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And we are not arrogant, right? We are regular people. And as a regular people, or as a regular person, I think, why does it sound strange to me in this 21st century that these weird things still go on?
Mm-hmm.
And why nobody does anything?
I don't know.
Then that's why we are a regular person, right? Because there must be something hidden that we don't know or we don't realize.
Maybe. Or maybe we just don't realize there are people working against it, you know?
Yeah, they don't have to agree.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't have the right to force everyone to think the way they do.
No.
How come? What is the purpose of that? I don't know, brother. But we should change the world for sure.
The song of your life.
And you know what changes the world and the people? Music. I do love music. And music is the heart of our conversation. Because as you remember, you have chosen a song that captures where you are right now. And before you tell us what it is, can you share what this song means to you? What moment or feeling or idea does it hold?
Well, the song I'm about to share with you is not necessarily a song I've known about for a while.
Mm-hmm.
I think it only came out a year or two ago. But it's a song that means a lot to me because it's, I guess, symbolic of a lot of ways I want to live my life.
Mm-hmm.
It has a lot of energy and it has a lot of passion in it. But it's also almost got like a melancholic feeling. It seems to keep in mind the history that comes before it mm-hmm. and continues to move forward, both in spite and because of it.
Well, let me tell you something that I wrote for you. So this song that you have chosen, which might have been your personal treasure until now, is about to belong to more than just you. from this moment on, it will have an audience. People listening will celebrate this chapter of your life alongside you. And it becomes part of your story, share with all of us. So, my dear Noah, what's the song?
My song is called Stratus by Ethan Hibbs.
Oof. Okay, let's imagine this. Imagine that your life is a movie divided into chapters. And this song is the soundtrack of that specific chapter of your life. What will you title this chapter with this soundtrack song?
I think, if anything, I'd probably title it Moving Forward.
A look to the future.
Jesus Christ, I want to hear the song right away. Okay, we are very close to end up. But before that, let's look a little bit about the future. If you could plant one idea or one value in this community that would outlive your time here, what would it be? What change do you want to inspire?
If anything, I think we could do with being a little more friendly here. I think a lot of people, very justifiably, are very much focused on their own thing when they're here at Laurier.
Yes.
Just getting through their classes, getting through their studies to move on to their next chapter. But even so, I think we could do with stopping and smelling the roses a little, you know? And being just a little bit more open to making connections while we're here. More so than just the surface level, hi, I know you, I know your face.
Mm-hmm.
It's, hi, I know you, I know who you are.
Yes. Yes, not being just familiar, your face is familiar to me, but hey, how have you been doing?
Yeah.
What's up? Now, on a more personal level, when someone who knew you here thinks of you years from now, what feeling do you hope comes to their mind? Not what you did, but how you make them feel.
I hope I made them feel welcome. If nothing else, I hope I made them feel welcome.
You mean when they were around?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I feel welcome when I talk to you, my friend. Honestly.
I'm glad to hear it.
The chain question and the gift.
Noah, it's been an honor getting to know one of the songs of your soundtrack life. And to close this circle and connect your story with the next week's guest, what question would you like to ask them to discover the essence of who they are?
Darn it, I had a question and now I can't remember it.
Take your time.
I think my question will be, what did the people who knew you as a child, whether that be family, friends, teachers, whoever, what did they think you would end up becoming as an adult?
Oh my God, that's a good one, brother. That's a good one. Well, we are done right now, but I brought a gift for you. It's a small candle and a card. The card says thanks in so different languages. Not all of them.
Of course not.
But it's the way I want to say thanks to be part of this crazy idea we got. And this is the time for you to say your last words if you want.
Honestly, just thank you for having me.
Thank you very much, my friend. Look forward to seeing you around.
I do too.
Thanks.
Remember, throughout our lives, we all experience a little bit of everything. Moments of great joy and success, and also challenges, setbacks, and difficulties. It's part of the human experience. It's the nature of life. However, what's truly important isn't what happened to us, but how we choose to respond to it. We have the power to decide whether to let bad things hold us back or use them as a fuel to keep us going. Therefore, the best tool we have is a positive attitude. This doesn't mean ignoring problems, but rather facing them with the conviction that we can overcome them and learn from them. Always a positive attitude. Always. See you next time.
I hear you loud. I hear you clear. Every beat, every voice in here. Turn it up, let the moment ignite. This is your sound, your life tonight. Every step, every turn, every fire, every burn.
I'm here for the high.